Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 2, as we continue looking at our topic, no matter what. We've been looking at individuals who were willing to risk it all for the cause of God, no matter what. And today we're going to continue that topic, looking at some more individuals that were willing to risk it all, that were willing to take the chance to do whatever it took in order to advance the kingdom of God. And we're going to see the beauty of this one person who seeks to protect this other group. And as we think about that, we all like to keep things safe that are important to us. With the world of technology advancing, most things now have what they call two-factor authentication. Now, sometimes it drives you crazy, but it's there to protect your account. And what that is if you log into an account, you got to put in your username, you got to put in your password, and then once you do that, it says, now we need to send you a code. And so then you got to get that code to a device that you have registered that is known as yours, and then type that in. And the whole purpose is to make sure nobody but you can get into your account. The problem that I often run into with all of this is I forget what password goes with what account. And so then you have to either create a document or have a piece of paper somewhere where you've got all your usernames and passwords written down somewhere. But then you got to figure out how to keep that safe. Because again, if somebody found that, then not very safe. And so the point of all this is we want our important stuff to be safe and secure from prying eyes. Today, we're going to look at the story of two spies who were sent out, and they are kept safe and secure from an odd place. There are a lot of good programs and ways to keep our data safe online, but none of them are as awesome as God's ability to keep His people safe and secure. And sometimes, safety and security for the people of God will come from the least likely places, reminding us that God can use anyone no matter what. Joshua chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Achaia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go and view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that I have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, "Our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us this land that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this beautiful passage of scripture that you give to us and this incredible story of how you use an unlikely hero to help your people. And I pray that through all this, you would help us to see that you can use each and every one of us, that we can make a difference, and that there is a need for us to be completely and totally sold out to you, trusting in you every step of the way. Lord, we do thank you for the goodness of your grace, your love, and your mercy. And Lord, we do thank you for who you are and what you've done and what you're doing. Lord, I pray now that I would sit down and that you would stand up. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move as only you can. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. Well, as we begin the story, the first thing that we see is we see that problems will arise. And so as it all starts out, spies are sent out. Now, the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness has come to an end, and now it's time for the people to begin to enter into the promised land. And the first stop is this fortified city known as Jericho. So in order to get ready for this, Joshua sends out spies. Now, I don't know if you guys remember, but the last time spies were sent out, it wasn't a good thing. The last time spies were sent out, it was Moses who sends out 12 spies into the land. The 12, they are told, okay, see how good the land is, bring back some of its fruit. So these 12 spies go out, they come back in and they say, man, this land is awesome. You know, it took two people to carry one thing of fruit. And so it really showed how the land does. And so they're like, man, this land is awesome. It's great. But the people are too huge. It will swallow us up. We can't do this. So of the 12 spies, 10 are like, we can't do this. Two are like, we've got this. And because the people chose to follow the 10 instead of the two, the people would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And so at this time, Joshua sends out two. And he tells them, go secretly, check out the land, especially Jericho. And so as the spies go out, we see some risks. The spies are risking their lives. Because if a spy who gets caught in another land, that's dangerous for them. Well, Joshua is taking a risk for sending out spies after what happened last time. I'd have been a little concerned about sending out spies after what happened. And what if they come back with a bad report? What if they come back with a report that discourages the people and it leads to us wandering in the wilderness for 40 more years? And so as the spies go into Jericho, they come to the house of a prostitute. Now, simply because they came to this house does not mean they were participating in any of the activities. With the type of woman that Rahab was, strangers coming into her house would not have raised any flags. No one would have been like, well, why are these people coming out of town to this house? It wouldn't have raised any questions. And so the fact that they go to the house of a prostitute and will be protected by her helps us to see two wonderful truths of Scripture. And so as we think about this, as we think about the fact that these spies come into the house of a prostitute and they will be protected by her, we see two very powerful truths. Number one, God is a great forgiver of sin. And number two, God can use anyone. And we'll talk about these as we go through the message this morning. And so as they get there, as they find themselves in the house of the prostitute, rather quickly they find out that their dad has been breached. Because somehow the king finds out. Just as there will always be data breaches that threaten to compromise your online security, there will always be those in the world who will try to keep us from being what God has called us to be. We will always have people that stand against us, that want to destroy us, that want to bring us down. And so as the spies find themselves at the house, the king hears about it. Now remember, it says that Joshua sent them to spy secretly. And so it was supposed to be a covert operation, a covert mission. Either they were not good spies, or someone somehow gave the king a report and let him know that they were staying there. And so how the king finds out, we don't know, but he does, and this is dangerous for the spies. The king finds out, knows where they are, and sends word to one of his citizens to bring them out. Rahab could have brought them out and most likely gained favor with the king. I'm sure that the king finding out was not part of the plan of the spies. Often in our lives, things don't always go the way we planned. But praise be to God that He is our strong tower, our refuge, and our protector. Even when things don't go the way that we plan, God is still in control. And that is a beautiful reminder. Even though there was a data breach, even though the king found out that the spies were there, God would keep these men safe from all who sought them harm, and God will keep you and I safe as well. Just as God would keep these spies safe, God keeps us safe. And so we see that no matter where we find ourselves in life, problems will arise. I don't care how old we are. I don't care how long we've been on this earth. Every single one of us have had problems come out of nowhere. We've all been put in difficult situations. We've all had people that are wanting to take us down, wanting to destroy us, whether they want to destroy our credibility, whether they want to destroy our testimony, whether they want to destroy our job or take our job. We all have people that in some way, shape, or form come after us. But the beauty of God is God will always protect His people. And that's what we're going to see is when problems arise, protection will come. When problems arise, protection will come. As we pick up in verse 4, it's incredible to see this story unfolding. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. So Rahab hid the spies. Rahab could have given the spies up. But instead, she hides the men. She knows that something bigger is at work here, as we will see as we continue through this story. She tells the king they've come and already left. She takes them up on the roof and uses flax to hide them. Flax was something that was used in order to make linen. And as we look at Rahab here, we see that she's put in a hard situation. If she told the truth, these men would have most likely been killed. If she kept them safe, she would have to lie. So here we have our options. The options that Rahab have is to lie and be deceitful or a conspiracy to commit murder. You talk about a lose-lose situation. As we went through the story of Esther last week, we saw that she was put in a lose-lose situation. And once again, we see that Rahab is put in a difficult situation. And a lot of people have a problem with this passage because they're like, well, Rahab lied and it's never good to lie. No, it's not. But again, it helps us to see that our God is a forgiving God. Rahab is given two very difficult choices. And the question that we have to ask, which choice would God receive most of the glory? And so Rahab chooses to protect the men. Rahab would then encourage the men. Here in just a little bit, she says, the city is terrified because of y'all. So she would encourage them and she would send them away safely. We need to understand that nowhere do we see in the text that it was okay for Rahab to lie. It never says that anywhere. What we do see is that God forgives and uses her for His great purpose. God forgives sin of people and uses people for His purpose. Often we think God cannot use us because of this. One of my favorite things is when people say, well, I got to get my act together. I got to get my life together. Then I'll come to church. You done got it backwards. Because if you are trying to get your life together on your own, it ain't ever going to happen. The only way that we can get our life together is through the incredible power of the one true God of Israel. And so people are like, well, I'll come when I get my act. No, come and let him help you get your act together. And so we see that God uses her for his purpose. We need to understand that what Rahab was doing was an act of treason. So, two options: treason or murder. Would you like to be put in that situation? I know I wouldn't. And so she could have given up the spies, but instead she kept them safe. Again, she knew that something bigger was at play, and we can see that by the response that she gives to the men who came to her house. And as I look at this passage, I often wonder why the guards did not look for the spies. Had they went in, they probably would have found them. But they took Rahab at her word, and they went away looking for them elsewhere. And ultimately, what we see is God's protection, both upon the men who came to Rahab and on Rahab who kept them safe. Both the spies and Rahab were doing whatever it took, no matter what. The spies went to the foreign land to spy it out, no matter what, risking their lives for the kingdom of God. Rahab was going to protect these men, risking her life, no matter what, to advance the kingdom of God. So why would she hide these men? The answer is in verse 8, where she says, I know that the Lord has given you this land. She had decided that doing what was right for the Lord is better than doing what is right for the king. And that is a reminder that you and I need to have in our world today. It is always better to do what is right for God than what is right for the world. We have an obligation as the people of God to live for God no matter what. And so she was willing to risk it all. She was willing to do whatever was right for the Lord instead of the king. And as we look at this, we again see that God can use anyone. And I love this truth. Rahab would have been looked down upon in her culture, and it would not have been believed that God used her. Let's not forget a couple things about Rahab. We already know that she is a prostitute, and we all know what that means. But on top of that, she is a citizen of Jericho, which also makes her a pagan, someone who does not believe in God. She is a part of a religious culture that worships idols. So here we have a pagan prostitute woman. Because again, women in that culture and society didn't have the same standing as men. Because when a woman was not able to find a husband, or if something happened, there was only two ways. There's about three ways that a woman could earn money: from her husband, from her father's house, or being a prostitute. And so the culture and society was a lot different in those days. And nobody would have thought God would have used a pagan prostitute. And today, we often look down upon people who are different than us. We often take one look at a person and says, well, God can't use them. You know, most of us, good Christians that we are, if we saw someone come in covered from head to toe in tattoos, we would naturally think bad of them. You know, one of the most godly people I know is covered from head to toe in tattoos. But most of us wouldn't even give him the chance to speak a word, because we would have already judged him as soon as he walks in the door because of how he looks. We often do what they would have done in that culture. They would have looked down. God can't use them. Well, God can't use that person. God can't use them. Often we think there's no hope for them. This is a great reminder that no one, absolutely no one, is beyond the grace of our awesome Creator God. There is nobody that God cannot reach with the gospel. There is nobody that God cannot change or transform. This is a great reminder for us. God will use unlikely people in order to help protect His people. David was a lowly shepherd, the youngest of all the boys. He wasn't even high enough to come to the family meeting. He's out in the field, and he's the one that God chose. Ruth was a Moabite. Here we see Rahab. God uses unlikely people to accomplish His plan and His purpose. And so we see God use a pagan, sinful woman in order to accomplish His great task and awesome purpose. She was going to risk her life no matter what. And this reminds us that God does not play favorites. It might be weird to say this, because I'm a proud Southern Baptist, but Southern Baptists aren't God's favorite. He likes Christians, period. God doesn't play favorites. You know, Americans aren't His favorite, as we often tend to think. This person or that person is. God does not play favorites. He can use anyone. All that He asks is that we be totally sold out to Him. Our background doesn't matter. What Rahab did here would be remembered for a long time. She was an unlikely hero used by God in spite of her background. And we need to understand just the power of what happens here. Because again, it is very easy for us to look down upon people. We look down upon people and because they don't look like us, because they don't act like us, or they may not be the same as us, and we tend to think, well, God, there's no way that person can be a Christian. There's no way that person can do this or that. Rahab was a pagan prostitute. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Salmon fathered Boaz by Rahab. Boaz fathered Obed by Ruth. Obed fathered Jesse. And we know that Jesse is the father of King David, the descendant of Jesus Christ. So this pagan prostitute that we thought God could have never used is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So don't sit here and tell me that God can't use that person. Often we judge people by their outward appearance. We judge people by how they look. And we're like, well, God could never use them. Wrong. He used a pagan prostitute. Hebrews 11, 31. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the Hall of Heroes. In Hebrews chapter 11, it lists all the great heroes of the faith. You will see Abraham. You will see Isaac. You will see Enoch. You will see Moses. You will see Noah. You will see all these great heroes of the Old Testament and how they sacrificed to follow after God no matter what. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, by faith, Rahab, the prostitute, welcomed the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed. James chapter 2, verse 25, in the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works in receiving the messengers and then sending them out by a different route? These verses help us to see that she is willing to risk it all to follow after God no matter what, and that God can use anyone who is willing to serve Him. God would use Rahab to protect the spies. The spies would then protect Rahab. And then the Savior would eventually come from Rahab who protects us. See how God works. Be sold out to Jesus no matter what. We have no clue how God can turn our life around and use it for His honor and His glory. Because when problems arise, protection will come, and when protection comes, proclamations will be made. These last seven verses, we see this beautiful proclamation taking place. The first thing that she says is, look at your God. What unfolds next in this story is incredible. Rahab proclaims the greatness of the God of the spies. She says, "Your God has given you this land, and your God has done great things." She knows that this land does not belong to the king of Jericho, for it has been given to the people of Israel by the one true God. Her and the city have heard what God has done for the people to this point. We have heard all that the Lord has done for you when he brought you out of Egypt. They knew about the incredible power of God to bring the people out of Egypt on a mighty hand. When he split the Red Sea and they walked through on dry land. They heard about that. We have heard how you took out the two kings. They knew about how they took out Sion and Og. And what God did there. We have heard. The reputation of the people was powerful. They defeated Egypt by walking across the sea on dry ground. And they had totally destroyed the Amorite kings. The people, this led to the people of Jericho feeling faint-hearted. That is, to melt away. They were afraid. They were scared. They were in terror. The people were melting away in fear because the people of Israel and all that God had done in their lives. Would you want to fight against someone who had this reputation? Would you want to stand against God? Yet how often do you and I find ourselves standing against God because we're more concerned about our way than His way? How often do we find ourselves standing in opposition of God because we refuse to change? Because we refuse to try something different? Because we refuse to step out of our comfort? And here, God would use a pagan prostitute that would have clearly taken the people out of their comfort zone. And make a difference. We need to make sure that we're always fighting on the side of God instead of against God. You and I need to make sure that we are always on the side of God. Next, she says, "Your God is good." And this, my goodness, look at this here as we see in this text where she says in verse 11, "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." As we look at this text, we need to see this incredible proclamation of the one true God of Israel by a pagan prostitute. Pagan prostitute says, "There's one God. There's one true God, and He's the God of the people of Israel." If she can make this bold statement about God, what is holding us back from telling the world about Him? If this pagan prostitute who is committing an act of treason can say that Yahweh, the one true God of Israel, the covenant God of Israel, the God that created everything, if she could say that He is the one true God, He alone is God, what is holding us back from talking about God? Because often we don't like to talk about God. We don't like to talk about who He is and what He's done in our lives. Now, we'll talk about our favorite football team. We'll talk about our favorite sport. We'll talk about our grandkids. We'll talk about our favorite food. We'll talk about everything that we enjoy in life. But let's not talk about God because that could offend somebody. If a pagan prostitute can say there's one true God, we should be able to as well. She says, "For the Lord your God is God." This woman from a pagan nation has come to know the truth about the God of Israel. Do you know the truth about the God of Israel this morning? Do you know that the God of Israel is the one true God? Do you know that in His love for us, that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins? Do you know that Jesus is the only way that you and I can receive salvation? That there's absolutely no other way that we can be made right with Holy God. We can't earn it. We can't be good enough. We can't buy it. We can't purchase it. It's been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. That is the one true God. Do you know the truth about the God of Israel? Do you know that He has called us unto salvation? That He has called each and every person to surrender their hearts and lives to Him? Do you know that the one true God has called us to service? We can retire from our jobs, but we cannot retire from being a Christian. We get to serve Him with every day of our lives. And so she claims, she professes, "Your God, He's God. He's the one true God. Now show me faithful love." This is incredible. As she sends them on their way, she asks them to remember her and her family when they come back into the land. Now, it's easy for us to miss the beauty of what she asks here. As we look closely at this, this is incredible. "Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." So the men answered her, "Our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us this land that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Now both kindness and kindly are the same word in the Hebrew language. And this is sometimes where we lose a little bit in translation. Because the Hebrew word that's used here when she says, "Show kindness as I have shown you kindness," and they say, "I will deal kindly with you," is that Hebrew word that you guys hear me talk about all the time, chesed, that deals with the faithful covenantal love of the one true God. So what is taking place here is she is asking to join into a covenant relationship with the people of God and their God. Wow. She wants to be recognized with them. Rahab is saying, "I have shown you covenantal loyalty, and now I ask you to do the same for me." And the men say, "As long as you don't tell nobody, you got it." She was entering into a covenant relationship with the people and their God. No matter what, she was going to proclaim the name of the one true God. What about us? A pagan prostitute wanted to join into a covenant relationship with the one true God of Israel. We see a powerful life that has changed. Again, we have looked at verses where she is in the lineage of King David. She is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. We have seen that she is in the hall of heroes, which helps us to see that her life has been changed forever by the one true God of Israel. And I'm here to tell you today, when you and I give our hearts and our lives to Christ, we are changed. We are completely and totally changed. So here we see both the spies and Rahab are willing to serve the Lord no matter what. The spies risk their lives, and Rahab risks hers. We also see that God will protect His people no matter what. And sometimes God will use unlikely heroes. This passage shows us an unlikely hero and reminds us that God can use us no matter what. Even when the data of our lives is breached, God is there to keep us safe, and at times He will also use unexpected people to provide for and protect us. This is incredible, and I love this. And it kind of reminds me of how, you know, God can use anything. I'm just going to use a modern example. Churches today, churches all across America, have had to put into place concealed weapon carry. And there are some people who just think it is horrible to have to carry in a church because God will protect you. Well, what if the person carrying is how God chooses to protect you? You ever think about that? I think of the great story of this guy, and I shared this Sunday night. There's this flood coming, there's this storm coming, and the guy is like, Well, I'm trusting God to save me. So as the storm's rising, here comes the military and their big old trucks and says, come on, you need to get out. He says, no, the Lord's going to protect me. They go on. It's gotten a little bit higher. A little bit later, a boat comes by. Oh, the Lord's going. No, I'm not getting in the boat. The Lord's going to protect me. A little bit later, the waters rise even higher and higher. Helicopter comes and says, climb the ladder and get out of here. No, the Lord's going to protect me. Dude that drowns, dies, goes to heaven. Lord, why didn't you protect me? The Lord says, I sent a truck, a boat, and a helicopter, and you didn't get on any of them. Protection comes from unlikely places, and often we misjudge people, we misjudge motives, and we think the worst instead of thinking the best possible route. Yes, God's going to protect his people. And with the whole concealed carry, well, God will protect us. So are you going to tell me that if you're lying in your bed at night and your fire alarm goes off, you're going to lay in the bed and say, God's going to protect me, or are you going to get out of the house? Sometimes we need to use a little common sense. Sometimes we need to trust God. Sometimes we need to step out on faith. You never know what God's going to do. What? God is incredible. God is awesome. And God will always protect his people. But sometimes God will protect his people from the craziest ways. Nobody in a million years would have thought that a pagan prostitute in the city of Jericho would have been the one God used to protect his people and prepare a way for them to enter in and take over the city. But that's exactly what God did. What is God saying to you today? Have problems risen in your life that you need to deal with and trust God in? Are there problems in your life where you just need to say, you know what, God, I trust you? Have you seen the wonderful protection of God in your life? How have you seen it? I want you to think this morning, how has God protected you in your life? And if you're here this morning, God's protected you. Because when all of us were teenagers at some time, and if we make it from teenager to adulthood, that can't happen without the protection of God, because all of us has done something knucklehead as a teenager. But God has protected us and brought us to this point. And how can we take the time today to proclaim the goodness of God? Problems will arise, but when problems arise, protection comes. When the protection of God comes, that should lead to the proclamation of the goodness of God. Every single one of us have been protected in some way, so I want to challenge you this morning, proclaim the goodness of God. When you and I trust God in the midst of our problems and proclaim that he is Lord, that's what we need to do. Will we? Will you and I, in the midst of our problems, find protection in God and proclaim his goodness no matter what? Lord, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for the beauty that we see here. We thank you for Rahab and her willingness to serve. And we thank you for the reminder that you use unlikely heroes, that you use unlikely people. There's very few women mentioned in the Hall of Heroes in Hebrews 11, but one of them is Rahab, who was a pagan prostitute who chose to sell out to God no matter what, to risk her life, to commit treason, to protect your spies and your people, and to enter into a covenant relationship with you. And for that, we are grateful. We're thankful for her willingness to serve you no matter what. And I pray, Lord, that you would remind us that no matter what our background is, no matter what sins we've committed, no matter what we've done in our past, that you can forgive, that you can let that go, and that you can still use us. I pray that you would help each and every person that hears this today to know that they can be used by God no matter what. And Lord, I pray that you would use us. I pray that you would use us to make a difference in this world. I pray that we would be on fire for you. I pray that we would let go of our wants, our desires, our will, and that we would completely and totally surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit and let you move like never before. I pray that we would get rid of all of our preconceived notions and all of our stubbornness and all of our arrogance and just say, you know what, God? I'm going to let go and let lead. I'm going to let go of who I am and let the Spirit of God lead, because that's what we need in this world today. And Lord, I pray that's what will happen. I pray that we'll allow the Spirit to take control and that we will stand up no matter what. I pray that we will stand up no matter what, because this world is coming to a time when it is going to get, when it gets harder and harder for to be Christians, where Christians are attacked for everything they say and do. And there are some places where it has become criminal for Christians to proclaim the truth of the gospel. And we need to ask ourselves that when that happens in this country, are we going to stand up? Are we going to proclaim the truth? Are we going to proclaim the goodness of God? And I pray that we will, Lord. I pray that you would move. I pray that you would take over. And I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here that doesn't know you, that today would be the day that they surrender their heart and their life to you. Lord, we thank you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.